We'll open up the floor for questions, inshallah. Okay, the brother is asking, the hadith, knowledge is gained by learning. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمِ. I have often thought that it could be used as a proof against those who claim knowledge can be gained from other means, example, dreams, feelings, etc. Why would the Prophet say something so obvious? Knowledge is got through learning. Is this an acceptable interpretation? Yes, it is an acceptable interpretation, but also what the brother or the sister said is also correct. Like I said, this is one of the ways to translate the hadith. The Arabic phrasing is so concise, it's very difficult to give an exact translation. But these points are also correct. That this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, knowledge is only obtained through, you know, تَعَلُّم, through learning and through study. Okay, it is also used as an evidence that knowledge is not attained, like, for example, you know, certain sects, the mystical sects of the Sufis and everything, they claim that if you just, you know, agnostics, they just worship Allah in a cave and they're just chanting and knowledge is going to come to them. No. This can be used as a proof against these type of people too. Yes, okay. But one of the ways it could also be understood is that knowledge is gained through seeking it. It's not going to come magically to you. You're not going to wake up one day more knowledge than you were yesterday. You're going to have to put in the time and the effort, you know, to gain the knowledge, you know. If an ignorant person leads people astray, are the ummah accountable for that, and what did they do wrong? Well, this question has to be taken in a more detailed manner. In other words, you have to see, for example, this ignorant person that became the scholar or became the leader of his time, right? Were the people able to see through him? Did they know who this person was? If the answer to that is yes, then they too are sinful for putting him in that place. Okay. Also, were the people approached by other people of knowledge, and warned against this person, that beware of so-and-so, he has no knowledge. Or he has knowledge, but he's leading you astray. And don't think that a person has knowledge, he's always going to be on the correct path. No, look at the Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them like a donkey who has books on his back. They have knowledge, but they just don't apply it. They have gone astray, you know. So the point is, if you know for a fact that this person is one that is leading people astray, then you too are responsible for following him. Okay, but if you really and truly don't know, and you feel that this person is a true scholar, and you fell into some mistakes of his, then inshallah, you will not be held sinful, but he will. Okay, but that's only if really and truly you did not know, you were truly ignorant. Okay, but in our times, alhamdulillah, especially in America, we have students of knowledge here. You know, in America, we have students of knowledge. We have people that you can go back to and ask. You know, if you feel uncomfortable about a certain person, is he really a person I should take my religion and deen from? Go and ask someone, what do you think of this brother? Is he one that I can trust in my religious verdicts and stuff, you know? So it is your responsibility to find out also, you know? Don't just think that if you're born in Houston and so-and-so is here in any city or something, you have to take him for granted. No, ask around. See what he says. Also, you yourself talk to him. See, is he knowledgeable? This is your responsibility. You might not be obligated to go and study Islam, okay? But you are obligated to choose the right people to get your Islam from, okay? Yeah, there are plenty of people out. You know, the Prophet said, we're going to be divided into so many groups and sects, you know. So we have to be careful who we take this religion from. So in a way, partly the people are responsible. And in a way, if they try their best and they still fail through, then they're not responsible. And inshallah, they'll clear it up. The three sources of goodness after you die. The Prophet said, when a person dies, then his good is cut off except for one of three things. Firstly, a pious son that prays for him. Okay, in other words, one of his children that he taught and he raised a good Islamic education. When he dies, the son will pay for his father, the daughter will pay for, you know, her mother or father, that Allah bless him and forgive him and this and that, and raise the rest of paradise. The first one. Second one is sadaqah jariyah. Sadaqah jariyah means a continuous charity. It means you gave some money to something, and it's like, for example, you gave some money to a beggar, he'll get some food and that's it, finished. But suppose you gave money to an institution, right? Or you built a school, an Islamic school, or you built a masjid, then people are going to benefit from that masjid in your school after your death. Okay? So this is called sadaqah jariyah, a continuous charity. And the third thing is knowledge, which people benefited from. Can you name some scholars and students of knowledge in the United States? How do we do this one? Inshallah, as the time goes by, inshallah, we'll do that. Which is the beginning. Not too long ago, I was living in a Jahili lifestyle until one day I came across an incredible Islamic book, and from there on I was guided by Allah. But what about those people who are never guided or given the right kind of knowledge? Are they just going to go to hell? If I was a Christian or even a Muslim, I would never become more practicing or become a Muslim living in this country, as Islam is considered a negative thing. I would never approach Islam. It just happened to be lucky and fortunate to be guided by a certain book. Please note that I was already a Muslim, but a non-practicing one. So why would a non-Muslim ever have an incentive to become a Muslim? Again, that's a long question, but the point is, when a person knows about Islam, the basics of Islam, what are the basics of Islam? The basics of Islam is that there is one God, and that we have to worship only this one God. Okay? If a person knows this much, a non-Muslim, he is obligated to ask more about Islam. The obligation goes back upon him. Now if, and this is possible perhaps, 50 or 100 years ago, but I don't think this is possible anymore because everyone knows the basics of what a Muslim believes. If a person really has no idea of what Islam is, and they just think it's just a bunch of fanatical people running around and blowing up bombs and everything, I agree, this image still exists, right? But at the same time, people do know what we believe. The average person, if you were to ask what do the Muslims believe, they'll say, well, they believe in the Prophet Muhammad and that there's one God. They know some basic stuff, okay? So it becomes obligatory upon these type of people to ask. Suppose he didn't even know that much, and he was absolutely ignorant, okay? Concerning this status or this group of people, the scholars of Islam have differed what's going to happen to them, okay? Some people said they're going to go to the fire of hell, some people said they're going to enter Jannah, but inshallah, the correct opinion, and this is proven in some hadith, is that those people that were never, ever, ever exposed to the true teachings of Islam, they will be tested on the Day of Judgment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have a valid excuse. They will say, Ya Allah, we never knew your religion. Okay? So these people, Allah will test them on the Day of Judgment. And if they obey or they respond to that test, then they will be saved and go into Jannah. And if they disobey Allah on that day, and they disobey Allah's test, it's as if they disobeyed Allah in this world also. So this is the correct opinion concerning this category of people. Likewise, well, for Muslims, they don't have an excuse. If you're a Muslim and you know the basics of your religion, right? This person, he knows La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He knows the Quran. And he has no excuse for not reading it. If he is immersed in his own sins, that is his excuse. That is his, excuse me, fault. He can't use that as an excuse because he knew. The point is you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you through the Quran. If you know this and you didn't read the Quran, it's not anyone's fault except your own. So the Muslims, Allahu A'lam, they don't have an excuse, right? As for some of the kuffar, some of the disbelievers, those that have never been exposed to the message of Islam, like we said, there's a difference in opinion, and perhaps the correct opinion is what I just mentioned. Let's suppose I can give only 1 hour a day to religious studies. Should I spend this time in revising Quran and memorize so that I do not forget, or to learn Arabic, or to read the books of Hadith? Which one of them has the first priority? I've been asked this question a number of times. How should we go about basically building a schedule or structuring the schedule so that I will benefit the most from? Should I just, read the Quran and that's it, memorize the Quran? I say there is good in every single thing. Spend some time to memorize the Quran. Spend some time to read Hadith. Spend some time to read Islamic books. Spend some time to read this and read that. Okay, if you have only 1 or 2 hours a day, and this is, realistic. I mean, it's not something, even though, Allahu A'lam, the brother should be a bit more eager than 1 hour a day, I mean, we all spend more time watching TV and talking on the phone and wasting time here. Look, Echo, when you go in your car and you're sitting in your car, right, put on an Islamic lecture. Put on an English, if you can't speak Arabic, put on an English lecture. There are plenty of English lectures. Going to work and coming back, that's 30 minutes to an hour every day. Okay? You don't have to just think, I have to sit down, look at the watch half an hour. You have plenty of time. If, for example, you're a housewife and you're cooking food, okay? Or even a person, a male cooking food. Put something on the background that will benefit you. Okay? You have to think more than just, half an hour totally blank. Of course, you do need that time also. But look more, broad-mindedly at it. Keep a book at your side that you can, every time when you go to sleep, 5 minutes before you go to sleep, look at something. Okay? For example, 40 hadith. Every day before you go to sleep, read one hadith, understand it, that's it. Wallahi, it won't take you more than 1 or 2 minutes. You tell me you don't have 1 or 2 minutes a day for this hadith? So do everything I'm saying. Spend some time to memorize a little bit of the Quran. Spend some time to understand the meanings of the Quran. Spend some time to learn fiqh. And if worst comes to worst, make a schedule. Monday I'll do this, Tuesday I'll do that, Thursday I'll do this, Wednesday, so on and so forth, okay? And sit with a person of knowledge so that he'll know your status and he'll give you a good program or a good structure to go by. Okay, and then stick with that schedule. So my point is everything. Everything. Don't just concentrate on one thing. Everything is good. Memorizing the Quran is good. Reading the Quran is good. Understanding the Quran is good. Reading Hadith is good. Don't just do one and ignore the other. No. Do a little bit of everything, inshallah. Can you tell something about the person who learns the knowledge and acts opposite of what he learns knowingly? The person who learns something and does not act according to it, he is a person who has been given severe warnings and severe punishments in the Quran and Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who believe, how dare you say that which you don't do? How come you're calling to people stuff that you yourself don't practice? You're preaching what you don't practice. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It is a grave sin in the sight of Allah that you say that which you don't preach. Okay? Likewise, as you know, the verse of Surah Fatiha, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَى الضَّالِينَ, lead us to the path of Surat al-Mustaqim, not the path of those whom you are angry with, nor those who have gone astray. Who are the ones whom Allah is angry with? The Jews. Why is Allah angry with them? They have the knowledge, but they don't act upon it. They know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in the Quran, they know that the Prophet Muhammad is their Prophet, even more than they know that their son is their son. They can recognize this Prophet even easier than they can recognize their son. And wallahi, the Jews, they know this. The Jews that are knowledgeable of their religion, they know that this Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the Prophet that has been predicted. But out of arrogance, they refuse. Okay? So Allah describes them in the Quran like a donkey carrying books. كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. They're like a donkey carrying books. Because they have that knowledge, but they don't act according to it. Likewise, the Prophet said, and we're going to quote this hadith in the next lecture that I have. The person who teaches other people good, and he forgets himself, and this is a beautiful, wallahi, beautiful hadith, and it shows you the jawami' al-kalam, the conciseness or the beauty and the speech that the Prophet was given. He is like the what? He is like the candle that lights others but burns itself. The person who teaches others good but forgets himself, he is like the candle, كَمَثَلِ السِّرَاجِ. He is like the candle or the light. It guides everything, but it's burning itself in the process. So the one who, you know, the one who studies and who, you know, learns Islam and then doesn't act upon it, يعني, it is a severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're out of time. Okay, so inshallah we're out of time. The brothers are going to be attending all these questions. Inshallah they can be answered later on, inshallah. Subhanahu